Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite. Introducing WonderSuite from bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the greatest show on earth, the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. I am your host, Xavier, sitting here with the wonderful Deanna Kent. What's up, D? What's good?
What's up, Zay? How you feeling today?
Hey, I'm feeling amazing. I'm feeling marvelous, man. I'm excited about this episode,
yes, sir.
Man. This is gonna be one of them ones again. We back to back like Jersey. So before we get this show kicked off, I would greatly appreciate if you guys could like, subscribe, leave a comment. We're trying to get to 5,000 subscribers on YouTube, and we're trying to get to 1,000 five-star ratings on Apple Podcasts. So please leave a review, a rate, a five-star rating at that. Like I said, a like, a comment. Everything. We really appreciate that. And we're going to get right into the show. So before we start, Deanna, she's going to get into our first sponsor of the show.
Yes, sir. So it's time to get fit and get paid with the Lean and Six Body Transformation Challenge brought to you by Commando Athletics. This fitness challenge is exactly what you need to light a fire in you so that you can start making your health a high priority, you guys. This six-week challenge comes with easy-to-follow workouts, meal plans, and so much more. It's going to help you see the results you're looking for in no time. And the great thing about it is you don't need much but effort. It's minimal equipment needed for this for both the home and the gym option for this plan. All fitness levels are welcome. And trust me, this is a challenge you don't want to miss out. It is literally so easy, your grandma could do it. So remember when I said you're going to get paid? Well, on that note, the top five performers of this challenge are going to earn $1,000 each for having the best six-week transformation. So what's better than that, you guys? Getting your body right, hitting those goals, making your health a priority, and also walking home with $1,000.
Right.
It doesn't get no better than that. So make sure you guys go over to www.commandoathletics.com. Sign up for the challenge today. It starts October 11th, and it's going to last through November 20th. And right now, it is on sale for $79.
Yes, sir. And the link for that is in the description. So if you're interested and you want to get started, like I said, the link is in the description to get started today. So let's get right into the show. And this is an episode I've been really looking forward to. This is one of my favorite followers on Twitter. If you're on Twitter, you definitely need to follow this guy, man. He's very interesting. He gave out great information. So we had him bring him back. He was on episode 82. That was another classic episode. He gave a lot of gems. So we brought him back. His name is Steven Story. He's an insurance adjuster. And he's doing everything right now. He's living in Brazil. He's traveling the country. Welcome back to the show, bro. Living the life.
Hey, I appreciate y'all having me back home. I'm glad to be here. And it's a lot has happened.
It's a lot, right?
A lot has happened since
we was on Zoom last time.
Yeah, man. This is, wow, yeah. That was like a lifetime ago, man.
Yeah, right. All right. So let's get right into it for the listeners who may not be familiar with you. Do you mind just giving them a background on yourself?
Yeah. So guys, my name is Steven Story. I'm from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I dropped out of college and I started a business bell bonding. That was my first foray into running businesses by myself. I lived in that office for 2 years. I got my friend to drop out of college too. And we started having some success after some struggles those first few months. I've been in the insurance industry since 2008. Done a few things in the insurance agent. I've sold insurance. Bell bonding is an insurance. I hope y'all, if y'all didn't know that, now you know. And then after that, I got into insurance adjusting in 2015. And after that, I've been traveling all around the continent handling claims, specifically catastrophe claims like hurricanes, wildfires, floods, hailstorms for damage to auto and property.
Okay. So for the, this is the first question I want to ask for the people that's listening to this. They might even know like what this is. So break that down. What is an insurance adjuster?
Yeah. Okay, guys, look, we're not going to be talking about insurance the whole time, okay? This is part of me.
This is important.
This is a part of me, and this funds my lifestyle. So all these other stories you're going to hear as we go through this podcast, this funds those things. So what an insurance adjuster is, specifically an independent insurance adjuster, they're the person that makes a decision on your claim. So let's say you're in a car wreck. They're going to say, hey, look, we see that you have X amount of damage and your policy says this. So we're going to give you this amount of money based on what your policy says. Same thing for like a home. So like I say you have a roof gets blown off or something like that. Same concept. Hey, look, we see your roof blew off. You have coverage. And that coverage says this, so we interpret policy, and then we pay off that policy if we see coverage. If not, we'll see a denial.
Okay, that's a simple breakdown. So if someone wants to become one, what do they like? They need like a certificate, a degree, or anybody can do it?
Okay, so everybody can't do it.
Okay.
Most people can. Okay. So you need to have a high school diploma. You got to be able to work in the United States, and you have to be able to pass a background check. So some felonies won't be able to pass. Some felonies will, but you have to check your State Department of Insurance to make sure. And you'll need to be a licensed insurance adjuster.
Okay.
As well. So you had to study, pass a state license.
Okay. Test. And as far as like this, because I've heard people use the term behind the desk. And then behind the desk and like in the field.
Yeah, those so are like, that's industry lingo. Industry lingo, man. So what we mean by in the field is we're a person that goes outside and inspects a property in person. So they might be inspecting a car that's been damaged. They'll go physically out and take pictures of that car. Or they'll physically go out and take photos of that house and get on the roof and inspect it and take measurements and things like that. So that's the field. And then in a desk would be like a call center. Well, behind a desk would be like a call center environment or a work from home environment.
Okay. See, I got the military background. So when I hit in the field, my mind goes somewhere completely different. I'm like, in the field, what you mean by
right?
So like let's get to something that people definitely want to know when you talk about pay. So like what's the, like, how much money can someone make being an insurance adjuster?
Let's talk about what they were making in the beginning. Most people who are getting into or listening to this, it's their first time hearing about it. So I've seen new people start out anywhere from $16 on the very low end to $36 an hour on the higher end for their first time being an insurance adjuster. From there, it's based on how long you can stay in the seat. So how good can you get in your first job? That's going to determine how much money you're going to make. So you might get your first job and stay there 6 months if you can catch on, and the environment for that deployment allows you to stay for a long time. Mm-hmm. Some deployments are quick. So it might be a small hurricane. You might be there 6 weeks, and it's not based on skill level. It's just because it's a small deployment. It's not a lot of claims. So you want to have a high claim count, and you want to be able to have a high skill level, and you can stay a while, and you can make some good money.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's some stipulations there.
So for you, how long did it take you to climb up that ladder and get to where you are now?
So my first deployment, I got fired in 5 days.
What?
Really?
How? Yeah.
It just, they hired too many people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was brand new. I didn't know anything. You know, I think I turned my computer on two or three times. I got fired. You know what I'm saying? Like,
damn.
I didn't even get to work for real. So I got out of training. I got to my desk. They tapped me on my shoulder and said, hey, meet us in the lobby.
Uh-oh, you know what that means.
Yeah. Come on, bring your playbook, son. You know, they got me out of
bring
there.
Bring your jacket in.
And so that was my first one. And a few weeks later, I got my second deployment. I did that one for 6 weeks. It was a small hurricane. And I was only able to work for a few weeks. And they didn't need me anymore. They sent me home. And so I got one more. Like 6 weeks after that, and that was Atlanta. It was an auto deployment. I did 7 months there, and that's what really got me on my feet and got me financially set, but also got my skill level up. And after that, I was consistent.
Okay.
Yeah.
So going back to what you said earlier, mm-hmm. you said you dropped out of college.
Yep.
So was the goal always to be an insurance adjuster when you dropped out, or did some things happen in the middle to get you to that point?
Well, you know, when I dropped out of college, I didn't drop out just because I felt like dropping out. Like I had an eye injury. I had like a really bad eye injury. So like first day of school, take your contacts out, guys, okay? One contact changed my whole life, okay?
Yeah, take them contacts.
So listen, so I didn't take my contact out one day and it ripped my cornea up and then I got an infection in my eye. And so I couldn't go to class for a month. I couldn't see anything, I couldn't read. And so my dad's like, son, you know, you gotta start working, you know, cause you can't just not be in school and not work. It ain't gonna work like that. So my mom had an insurance agency. She had an Allstate agency. Mm-hmm. So I already had a background in insurance, but I was like, I really don't want to sell insurance right now. And so my dad was like, well, you know, my friend, he's a bail bondsman, he can teach you how to do it. So that's what I did, you know. So my goal wasn't to get insurance. My goal was just to start working.
Oh, man.
And then it was just went from there.
Well, it's good to see that you was able to take that bad situation and turn it to something great.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, and I'm thankful. It hurt like hell. Wow. It's probably one of the worst pains you can feel as a man. Yeah. It's quite painful to rip your cornea up, though. It's quite painful.
So are there, like, I'm trying to think of what the word is. For, like, insurance adjusters, are there any jobs that's, like, permanent? Or is everything, like seasonal, like, temporary?
No. Yes and no. Okay? No in the sense that you're independent. So you always have an opportunity to be released. Okay? Because you're going to work until you can't. We're there to aid the staff adjuster, until they don't need us anymore, until they can handle their claims on their own. But some companies are always behind. So if you're good and you mesh well with the team, you can work for several years at a time. Like my mother, me and my mother, we started working together on a job in 2016. She's still there. I've worked probably 8 deployments since then, and she's still at the same job 4 years in because she liked it, and she's never been fired from there, and she's still an independent adjuster. Is that typical for everybody? No, but she's really good at what she does. She takes it serious. You know, she's a professional. So, it ain't just a luck of the draw.
Right. Okay.
You know, if you perform at a high level, you're going to stay around for a long time. You won't have a hard time getting work, but if you're not performing at a high level, if you don't take a job seriously, you're going to be popping around and you're going to be having short deployments.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I like that you brought that, that your mom does it too, because I saw you tweet about it, and like the tweet that you were making was that insurance adjusting can adapt to your lifestyle.
Exactly.
So can you dive more into that a little bit?
Yeah. So like, for example, my mom, she's worked at the same place for 4 years. I've been to Canada twice since then and worked in Canada and lived in Canada as well, and worked in Florida and Texas and, you know, Atlanta. And, you know, I worked a lot of places because I like to travel. I like to go to different cities and work in different cities. So I take contracts there or deployments that'll take me to these different places. My mom, she likes staying in one place, so she stays in one place. I got other friends that he has a family, a younger family. He lives in Atlanta. He just works in Atlanta, you know. And it's a lot of people that have those type of parameters around the type of deployments they take. But for me, like, oh, we going to Dallas, word, I'm there. Oh, it's mm-hmm. Calgary, we doing Toronto,
I'm there.
You know, because I want to see places, mm-hmm. you know, because I don't have a family, I don't have children, anything like that. So for me, it's like, hey, y'all paying what again? $10,000 a month, $12,000 a month? Okay, I can swing that in DC, you know what I'm saying? I can swing that in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who wouldn't want to do that? And so that's what it's like for me. But I have other people that just work from home. They keep, you know, they work a couple different companies through the year, and that's it.
So what you're saying is, so there's a difference in pay if you take on the traveling positions or the deployments?
No, it's not a big difference in pay. No, not at all. I think it's about the same.
Okay.
You know, honestly, people who stay in the same place usually are going to make more money because they have lower expenses.
Lower expense. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, not traveling and all this.
Yeah, yeah. I'm getting Airbnbs and rental cars and flights and stuff. You know, like, yeah, I'm burning money up.
So for somebody that's listening to this and they like been thinking about this, and they tuning in right now. So, like, mm-hmm. what's that starting point for them to, like, work their way to eventually becoming one?
I would say the first thing you need to do if it interests you at all, check your State Department of Insurance. Make sure you fit the requirements. And then you need to go get licensed. You know, go get your license. Like, before you do anything, just go get licensed. Go study. Take your pre-license course. Get your license. You always have it. Renew it every 2 years, and you'll have it before anything else. That's what I would say. I do have a YouTube channel, guys. You can go to my YouTube. I explain everything in detail through several videos.
Check that out. Go check that out.
If you want to do that, because people, y'all all ask the same question, so
right.
I've answered all of them fairly easily for y'all. So I make it real plain. You want, if you're not ready to spend that money, go to my YouTube and then just watch those videos explaining everything.
Because it's like a sure suggestion. What I realized on Twitter is like really popular right now. I see a lot of people talking about getting their license, becoming an adjuster. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of people making real good money doing it. So it's like I look at it as another option for people that may not want to go to college or stuff like that. Yeah.
I mean, like not want to go to college, but it's just like I don't want to spend another $15,000 or $20,000. Right. I want to spend another 2 years so I can get a $15,000 pay raise. You know, I got two guys. I ain't gonna say their names, but they came out of Hammond, Louisiana. I said, "Hey man, what's the most you ever made?" He said, "I made $10 an hour."
That's the most.
That's the most he ever made. It was $10 an hour. He's 24, and he's making $3,100 a week now.
Look at that.
You know,
insurance adjustment.
Insurance adjustment. $3,100 a week. You know what I'm saying? Him and his friend, they both went out there and they both made it happen. You know, and they got their jobs. They didn't get fired. They still working. They're professionals. You know, and it's like they didn't. They went to high school. These guys ain't touched college for real like that. You know what I'm saying? They went out, they made it, you know, they made it happen for themselves, not shaming them for any of that. You know, everybody got their own path, but it's like, yo, $3,100 a week, man, that's a month. They're doing their monthly salary plus.
In a week.
Every 7 days, you know? And so it's like, is it a cash grab? No, you're going to earn this money. Mm. But if you want to put this is an effort-based business. If you can at least put the effort in every day, you're going to make something of yourself.
Man, that's life changing to go from $10 an hour to over $3,000 a week. Yeah. Just from the mentality standpoint, that's gonna completely open your mind up.
Are you done?
About money is once you making a certain amount and you're used to it, once that changes, you making a different amount, you think of money totally differently.
Oh, yeah. It stretches you. Like our minds are like rubber bands, right?
Yep.
But it's not even like a rubber band. It's different because once it stretches, you can't go back.
Man, what?
You know?
That's so a bar.
Yeah.
Once you start stretching, like you 23 doing 3,100. Now you like, how can I do 5,000 a week?
Mm-hmm. Man.
You just keep going.
Then standard changes.
Yeah.
The standard changes.
Exactly. And so that's another goal of mine. That's why I push it so hard. That's what I'm so excited about, because it's like, I know what it feel like to not be doing well. You know, I know what it feel like to be like really out here, like hungry for real. Like I can't afford to pay rent or whatever like that. And, you know, then you get this license, and then they say, oh, man, I remember my first job, man. My first job, they called me. It was like $35.50 an hour. I was like, what? Like, it's like a cuss word. You know what I'm saying? Like $35.50 an hour for 60 hours a week. Like, that's the job I worked 5 days. I made $1,700 in 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I was just like, yeah, y'all got it.
Look,
y'all got it. I'm going to be doing
Say
this.
Less.
You know? And so I'm proud of all my students that I've been doing. I think we had 130 hired. 130
wow, that's
students
amazing,
hired.
Bro.
And probably 90% of them are still working right now. And, you know, my goal is to get 500 students. I want 500 students working.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you gonna get it? We gonna help you get that done.
Yeah.
And so the people that's listening to this, that's watching this, and y'all, like I said, y'all thinking about becoming an insurance adjuster, he has a course. We gonna get into that, where you could get and he can help you lead in that direction. We gonna get into all that, man. But I just love having these conversations, because this is a conversation like literally me and my boy we was talking about it. And he was saying how like. He used to strive for like $100,000. He said he went from like striving for like $100,000 a year It's $100,000 a month. Now he's like, I need $100,000 weeks now. Yeah. And I'm like, bro, this is it's real. Like,
it's possible.
Once, like you said, it's like a rubber band. Once your mind's opened up to what's out there and what's possible, it's like a gift and a curse. It's like, I can never go back to this now.
No.
It's like who said that? Like, once you go, Jay-Z said in that song, it's hard to go back to Hamburger Helper when you've been eating filet mignon.
Come on, man.
Oh
my God. Yeah,
talk
man.
That talk. Like, for real.
No, seriously. Yeah, yeah. It was... So I love steak, and so I eat a lot of dry aged steak. I don't know if anybody listening is a steak lover, but
you fancy.
I'll be eating like 50-day aged steak, 70-day aged steak.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I had a rib out a day, and I was just like, bro, what is this? Like, it was like, I was at a regular restaurant, you know what I'm saying? But like, hey, this rib, I was like, bro, what is this, man? Like, what are y'all serving over here, man? Like, but I'm not trying to be bougie. I'm just saying, like, I just been eating
it's
like
the
that.
Standard you...
And I ate a regular ribeye at a regular restaurant. I was like, yo, this ain't finna work, bro. Like, I didn't realize I had gotten that way, but you know,
they say humans adapt very fast.
They do.
And the longer I'm living, the more that I see, like, that's very true. Because I remember having we used to have a conversation like, man, $20,000 a month. $20,000 a month. Now it's like, if I make $20,000 in a month,
it's a bad month.
That's a bad month. It's like, man, what we been doing, man?
We tripping.
We ain't there. That's $20,000 a month. You make that just sitting on your ass not doing nothing.
Bruh, I remember I used to be writing down $10,000 a month. I used to put this in my screensaver on my phone. You know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta do this. And then, you know, you start doing it. And it's like, man, that wasn't that hard. Like, I can do a little bit more.
No, it's tripping.
Yeah, man. Why'd I make this such a big thing, you know? But moving past insurance, I want to talk about money consciousness and success consciousness. So, like, once we got to remove emotion from money in regards of, like, our desperation around money. And, like, making, like, these big numbers like pedestals, right? Like, you put 10 grand a month on a pedestal, right? And it's people doing 10 grand every day.
Yep.
And that's a bad day at 10 grand a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, why are we limiting our infinite potential on a finite number, you see?
Yeah.
And so, like, is your potential $10,000 a month? If you really worked your hardest, you believed, if you affirmed it every day, if you got other people around you, you invested in your mind and you focused for 30 days, you think $10,000 is the most you could make? That's not possible.
Mm.
That's false, right? So why do we put $10,000 or $100,000 or $1 million? Mm-hmm. Why are we putting those numbers on these finite numbers on our infinite potential? And so once we see that, then we also see this. The human will is the strongest thing on this earth. Human willpower. Human willpower has created everything you see. Human willpower and imagination. All right? And so then, and I think you and I know this, and you know, we all know this, but for the listener, if we can tap into our imagination and tap in, and so you see your imagination and say, hey, this is what I want. I believe everything that we see, guys, somebody imagine first, yep. And then we put in our willpower, okay? So we put those two things together, we marry those, we can have anything. Mm-hmm. And that's what a real win is, you know what I'm saying? That's when you really start to have serious success. And so once I did that, I started imagining, like, things I wanted. Like,
yep.
I said, hold on, bro, okay, I want this. Bam, I got to say, oh, shit, hold on, how did I do that? You know, and the first few times you do it, it might not be so conscious, but then you can start saying, like, and just for a simple, let's make it real simple for y'all. You like chicken wings?
What?
Man, I love chicken wings.
I'm a chicken wing connoisseur.
I love chicken wings, okay?
Me too.
So, and I'm sure y'all listening, somebody like chicken wings, or you like steak or spaghetti or whatever it is. I'm sure y'all have had this experience. You have been to a place you didn't know, and you found some chicken wings.
Yep.
They were good. And you had never been to that place before, and you were like, I got to have chicken wings. And so you put your imagination and your willpower together. And so you figure out how to get some chicken wings. Money's the same thing. It's the same concept.
You're right.
Your subconscious doesn't know the difference between money or chicken wings.
Chicken wings.
Or spaghetti or pizza or, you know what I'm saying, whatever it is.
You know the want.
I want it. So how do we qualify? How do we qualify for what we want, guys? Desire. All you got to do is desire it, and you qualify. And then from there, you just willpower imagination.
So, you know what I'm saying? So what do you say to the people? Because, you know, like, as kids, our minds are, everything is limitless.
Everything is possible.
Like, we think we could do everything. You know, we don't have any limitations on ourselves. But once we get out into the real world and become adults and interact with other people, we allow these limitations and these mental barriers to start coming into play. So you're talking about this, but for the average person, that could be really hard for them to drop down to all these mental barriers that have been built up over years. So how does one get to that level of
where they dropped those scars mm-hmm. that the world then put on them and get to back thinking like a child.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah,
they
can
do everything. Unlocking that imagination.
Right. Yeah. Now I do a few things for that. I really literally be like, what would 12-year-old Steve think? How would 12-year-old Steven get through this idea, this problem, right? What would he say? Like, if I was like making up, like, man, I don't know if I'm gonna get this job. 12-year-old Steve would be like, who cares? Mm-hmm. Like, why do you even care? And so sometimes it's just that simple. Like, remove that desperation, that care. Like, I gotta have it. My whole world's gonna come crash down if I don't get this. You just be like, hey, I don't care. We finna go play outside. How many times we got whoopings and played after that?
Man, every time. Unless you couldn't.
You know what I'm saying? And even if you couldn't play outside, you'd be like, man. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, well, we figured it out when we was kids. We can still figure it out. And so, like, one thing I've been tweeting lately, I need new problems. Guys, look, the thing about problems is there's a solution behind it. So you blocking yourself by saying, I don't want this problem, but you blocking your solution. So it's like, I'm going to focus on getting new problems, because it's going to put me in an opportunity to have a solution. Now I have a solution to this problem. So, for example, I'm in this fear-based thinking, all right, around love or money or where my life is headed. Look, it don't really matter, okay? Those things don't really matter that much. I'm going to go to sleep tonight. I'll wake up the next day. I'm still going to eat. I'm going to figure it out every day. And so, like, if I just take the heaviness of those things that I say I want, just take that down off that pedestal, same way for money. Taking off that pedestal and stop making it such a serious thing. If you just be chill about it, like, you'll figure it out. But you putting your mind, your subconscious around, oh man, I can't have it. You put on this negative emotion. And so now your subconscious says, well, shit, he can't figure it out. So we just gonna, mm-hmm. I'm gonna just lay back until he let me do my work, you know?
Damn. No, you talking some real gems right now, man. But that's so important. I'm glad Deanna asked that question, because I think people don't realize how important it is to get back to that childlike mentality where you's like thinking of, why can't I do this? You know, when you were a kid, people, they ask you, what you want to do when you grow up? People like, an astronaut, a president. And they instantly, a grown-up's reaction is, wait, make plan B, because that may not possibly happen.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you a better example. So, like, let's say we all like 10 years old. I race to that pole. Ain't no can't.
Right.
All right, I'm going to beat you. Yep. Well, shit, no, you ain't. I'm going to beat you. And then we go run to the pole. Why? We not even putting a thought in our head that we can't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Lose? Man, so guys, I'm 33 years old, okay? And I wanted to do a backflip. So I live in Brazil. I don't know if y'all know.
We'll get into that too.
I live in Brazil. Yeah. So I'm with these Brazilians. So Brazilians are really good about bringing you into activities. And so I get there one day, my boy, he's an acrobat. He's like, yo, come me to this little beach area. We finna do some backflips. I was like, bro, I never did no backflip, dog. Like, man, come on, bro. Like, I'm over 200 pounds, bro. Like, I'm not finna do a backflip with y'all. Like, and he was like, no, you finna do a backflip today. And it wasn't even like a negotiation. He was like, all right, do this. I was like, all right. He just made it so, like, I had no other choice. I did a backflip that day. You know what I'm saying? At 33, I'm doing backflips. And so, like, 2 weeks later, I'm doing no-hand backflips. You know? And it's like, that's that childlike lack of fear. Like, another way to get over fear, guys, just be ignorant. Just not know.
Mm-hmm.
Just not know. Mm-hmm. Just not. You just don't even know that there's something crazy about it, that something crazy could happen. Stop worrying about all the things that, like, I got to have all the information. I got to have all the details. No, you don't. Just be stupid sometimes and just go after it. And then if you win, if you make it happen, then you be like, oh, dang, I didn't know I was really risking something.
Yeah.
Just be ignorant, you know?
That's facts. And it, like, I know over the years I have, like, a totally different mentality when it comes to fear, because I used to be thinking, like, oh, man, like, I'm not supposed to be fearful right now. But now I think, like, this is a normal emotion that every human has. It's mm-hmm. like, it's okay to have this emotion. Mm-hmm. I just need to control it. I need to first embrace it mm-hmm. to say, okay, I'm scared right now. Why am I scared? And just control it and just still move forward and do it anyway. I think mm-hmm. so many people, it's like they have that feeling and it's like, oh shit, I'm scared. It's like, yo, you scared and everybody else is scared.
Oh, everybody's scared, man. Like,
come on, do it
man.
Anyway.
Just do it anyway, man. Like, we're going to keep going back to these kid examples. Like, let's use sales, for example. There might be some sales people listening to me right now. Would a 5-year-old be scared to ask somebody to sign a contract?
Not at all.
They don't even think about it.
They
don't even care.
Man.
Why do you care? You know what I'm saying? Like a 5-year-old be like, hey, sign this.
And the 5-year-old just sit there. Like, they gonna sit there and be like, and wait.
They might walk off.
And then if you say no, they're gonna ask you a million questions. Well, why are you not signing it?
And then
what's the problem?
So why are you not acting like a 5-year-old? Why are you not acting like this 5-year-old in that moment, right?
That's a fact.
But it's like, so why do we have fear? We have fear to protect us from mortal danger. Okay? From like to save our lives in case we do something stupid. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's what fear is for. Now, if our fear responses are engaging over a contract or, you know, asking somebody out or something like that, like, that's not real. These emotions aren't real. You know, like, it's like, okay, I feel this, but I know this isn't where this fear should be actively placed. So, hey, calm down, mind. Calm down, subconscious. We got this. And you just go ahead and do it. You just go ahead and move forward, you know. And if we keep doing that, your mind starts to say, okay, well, I don't need to be fearful of this situation because clearly he knows what he's doing. She knows what she's doing. But if we keep embracing that fear and just let the fear hang out, it's going to beat us up every time.
Yeah, that's a perfect example. Just because, like, where I get my haircut at my barber, her nephew, he's in the 4th grade, and he works at the shop. They have shoes there. They sell shoes. And, like, he's one of the salesmen. And, like, every time I go, he's like, he has no fear. Like, I could turn him down 100,000 times. He's like, he going to bring up a new shoe. You like this color? You like these? You like this design?
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, he really be working harder than, the adults that work there.
Yeah.
He get you to buy something every single time.
He get me to buy something. He gonna keep looking until he finds something that I like. Like, I tell him no 100 times. He going to find something and be like, I got him. Like, and then he going to hit me with a discount, too. He get at this. I'm like, damn.
Come
like,
on, man. Yeah. Consistency of effort.
Yeah.
That takes down fear as well.
Mm-hmm. Man.
You know?
I want to ask you this on the topic of emotions, because I've seen you allude to this on Twitter. Mm. Is that this generation struggles with happiness.
Oh,
and
that's
this is a deep conversation.
That's a big statement right there.
I'm glad you said that.
I need you to speak on it.
Y'all be throwing me some. Y'all be throwing me these
oohs. Throwing some Blake Griffin that joint.
So I was I live on the beach, guys. Okay. I live on the beach. And so I moved down there in 2019. And so anyway, I had been working as an insurance adjuster for 4 years at that point, and I was really tired, you know. And so about a month or two had went past, and I was like, man, I'm missing something, you know. What's going on? And I realized I wasn't angry anymore. You know, I wasn't frustrated anymore.
You feel like you was missing something.
It was a part of me.
How crazy is that?
I had been frustrated and angry so long, I didn't even know I was angry and frustrated. You know, and then people start saying, Steve, well, you look happy. I'm like,
I didn't look happy,
you know. I didn't look happy, prior to this, and so what I found out over the years I've been down there was that as Americans, we don't place enough importance on enjoying life. You know, we enjoy things, but we don't enjoy our lives. And so, I see it because I live in Brazil. I live in the States, so I see how Brazilians are. I see how Americans are. I see how I am in Brazil. I see how I am in the States. And what I found is that, like, you can enjoy a walk. You can enjoy the sunset. Man, like in my neighborhood, man, when the sunset happens, people clap. They clap for the sun, man. How much gratitude is that? To just applaud the sun for being beautiful. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like crowds of people do this every day.
That's crazy.
Every sunset, you know? And so it's like, well, that would make you happy. I'll be happy if I looked
you
at the sun.
You ain't got no choice. Everybody else started clapping. You like, man, why
and
I'm in a bad mood?
The first time it happened, I'm like, man, is it a famous person go by? Like, they saved somebody out the ocean. Like, I'm looking around, you know? And I started seeing, like, this is the thing. And so, not to say Brazilians are all happy, because that's not what I'm saying. But my point is that when you're constantly measuring yourself against other people, you're constantly on social media, we're all on social media right now, but when you're looking and comparing yourself, that's not natural. It's not natural for you to know exactly what your neighbor has.
Mm-hmm.
It's not natural for you to...
What were they thinking at all times?
It's not natural for you to see a famous person's house to compare it to your house. That didn't happen 20 years ago. You would never see Drake's house 20 years ago or Kanye's or whoever's. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't know their cars, they drove, or none of that. You know, and so when you secondhand experience things that you're not ready for, you can't have for whatever reason, it's going to make you sad.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't consciously know that, but in the subconscious say, well, I want it too, but you're not doing anything to get it for me. So I feel like crap. And so now you're walking around sad because you think that's your priority. It may not be your priority. You know, you might not even like those things, but you see those things. So you program yourself to like it and then not like it at the same time because you can't have it, you know. And so it puts your subconscious in this cognitive dissonance, mm-hmm. you know. And so cognitive dissonance is just our brain and our bodies fighting against each other, you know. So, like, we feel like sadness and pain and anxiety and depression, all those things around that cognitive dissonance. And so I think that so you can just get out, pull yourself out of that, comparing yourself to other people and say, you know, the idea that I have to be the best and I have to, if I don't have this, then I'm nobody, right? You're gonna continue to be unhappy, I think. Mm. Did I explain that correctly?
No, you did. Because this is something I always, like, when I see stuff that's going on in the world, specifically the country, like, I always ask myself, I'm like, how could we be the most, like, the most liberated generation, like, mm-hmm. ever, and we, from the stuff that I see, it seems like, and they did polls on this, like, they say we are the most unhappiest generation.
Y'all are not me.
Right. And I said that too. I'm like, man, I love my life, but
you know what,
like,
I mean?
But stuff around you, you see stuff and you like, damn. Mm-hmm. Like, people, a lot of people don't seem happy these days.
Now, I'm gonna tell you something else too. Most people walk around in quiet despair. Regardless of generation, they walk around in quiet despair. And I've kind of thought about that. It's like, well, why? Why do people walk around in quiet despair? It's because they're not consciously creating life. You know, they're not consciously creating. Like, hey, why are you living in the house you live in right now? Why did you pick the last shirt you wore? Why did you eat the last thing you ate? Was it a conscious decision? No, it probably wasn't. For most people, 90% of people, that was an unconscious decision that somebody else made for you. It started out when you were young. Don't be no astronaut. Get your backup plan. Mm-hmm. Right? And then from there, it was like, well, just go to the state school. Go to community college down the street from the house by mom and them.
It keeps going.
And then before you know, it's like, okay. My manager said I'm supposed to do this. Okay. My wife said I'm supposed to do this. Okay. My husband said I'm supposed to do this. My kids said I'm supposed to do this. And next thing you know, you're just doing what you're supposed to do.
How would you want
to do that? How many people have said that? I'm supposed to do this. Who said you're supposed to do that? Because if you didn't say it, we got a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a real problem here. And so the problem is unconscious life and conscious life. Us three have created a conscious lifestyle. You know, style is a verb, by the way, guys. Okay. So, get to doing this whole life thing, right? I have a lifestyle. I created this. I wrote it down. I put it on mirrors. I said it. I live in New York City. I live in Salvador, Brazil. I did a summer. I summered in Europe. I summered in New York. I'm going back to the summer in Brazil next month. I created it because that's what I wanted, mm-hmm. you know? So you can have this. I'm from Alabama, y'all. I'm a college dropout from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. All
right? Living in Brazil. And
y'all can do this. All right? But you got to. So how does it start, guys? You got to bring your thoughts into the physical by writing. Write these things down. Write what it is you want down. What kind of life do you want? How do you want to look? Who do you want to date? Who do you want to marry? How do you want your children to act? How do you want people to treat you? And until you start creating those things and being conscious about it, you're going to keep getting these unconscious results.
Results.
Mm-hmm. Or these supposed to be results. I was supposed to be this when I turned 30. And now you're 35 and you're 10 years behind. Like,
Go ahead, D.
I was going to say, like, what you said, I live by it. Because if you look at my phone right now, there's this long note in there. And it is literally, this is how I want to dress. This is where I want to live. This is who I want to be married to. Like, this is where my kids, like, everything is detailed. And I just see it already just coming into existence.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I update the note. I go back and look at it like on a regular basis, and it keeps me reminded when I start doubting myself.
Come on now. You got to remind yourself of who you are now. Yeah. 99% of things you write down come true, by the way. Mm-hmm. Just so you know. If given enough time, 99% of things you write down come true.
Man.
Take with that what you will. But,
hey, I love this conversation just because I think I know it, for at least for when we've been doing a video, we never really dove in. You know, people see our lifestyle now, they see where we at, they might see the video content, and they might believe or have the assumption that we've always been in this position or that our life was always just grand, not realizing that for me to get to this position, it was a lot of visualization going on, using my imagination. Me being in my bed at night, this one I'm talking about living with my parents before I even went to the military, thinking about how my life is going to be. Like, life by design, for real.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, man. But you know, the thing is, like, I remember I watched Boomerang. You know Boomerang.
Yeah.
I watched Boomerang, and I was like, I'm going to be like him. Like, he was well-dressed. Marcus, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was well-dressed, and he had a really nice apartment. What stuck out to me was his apartment. And I was like, I'm going to have a place like that. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I got one now. Yeah. And for me, it was like, you know, it's a few other people and a few other things that I wanted to be about. I really wanted to be really well-cultured and well-traveled. And I wanted to set myself apart. But I knew I couldn't stay where I was, and I couldn't have a mediocre income or anything like that to furnish that kind of lifestyle.
Exactly.
You know, because guys, earning money ain't about buying cars.
Man.
Okay.
Man, go ahead.
Granted, I love cars, and I'm going to get a car. I just happen to not live in this country, so there's no reason for me to have a car. But, and I'm only saying this, guys, like, keep saying not living in this country for a reason. This is just my lifestyle. Okay. It was a wild thing that I wanted, but your wild thing might be something else. You know what I'm saying? But the point is that we can use our incomes to fund our fun and how we experience life on a day to day. You know,
bro. The reason I love this is because, like, people made the show is called Millionaire Mindsets. Obviously, the conversation we have, and I think people get the misconception that this is about money, and it's not. Like, when I was visualizing before I had anything, it wasn't about money. It was about a lifestyle and being a certain person. Money was just a tool and a vehicle for me to be that person. So it's not about, like, this chase, or I want to say chase, the action and the purpose that we're doing is not about money. It's about excelling and just having a certain lifestyle. Right. Money is just a byproduct of this shit.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? You can't make money the goal. The goal is to actually be somebody where you're doing things. Like, for me, it was having influence, taking care of people, impact. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Being a businessman, looking nice.
Hell yeah.
That, I didn't mention money.
No,
to do those things, it takes money to have it. Yeah. So that's why I always say, I think people get confused where I'll be like, I don't give a damn about money. I do what I don't. It's not what drives me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying, but I want people to understand that, because they might just have a dollar as their goal. That shouldn't be the goal.
You know, what's also pretty interesting is that the lifestyle you want is actually much cheaper than you think it is.
Yeah.
So for example, like, let's just talk numbers for a second.
That's a fact.
Talk numbers for a second, guys. So my apartment in Brazil is $1,000 US. My driver is $200 US. No, $400.
Yo, what?
My driver. Yeah, I have a driver. I don't take Uber
from Brazil.
Driver. So I got a driver. My driver is $400.
You say, you see my face? I say, yo, what?
I'm I got a driver. I got a driver, bro. Like, but it's $400, right? It's $400 for my driver. It's gas and him, you know, drive me around every month. And then it's then I got a maid, right? So I got Lou. Shout out to Lou. And so Lou, she cooks and cleans and washes all my clothes and everything. And she's another $400. So I've only said $2,000 worth. $1,800. $1,800. Okay, that's all I said. Does anybody have to be rich to afford $1,800 for rent, your driver, his gas, and your maid? It's $1,800. That funds the majority of my lifestyle, you know. And then I have coaches for swimming and dance and all the other stuff. But, like, let's just say $3,000 for all that. $3,000. You can figure out a way to make $3,000 and have that. Tickets to my city is $800 round trip. I ain't got the $5,000 yet.
You said I ain't even got the $5,000 yet.
Like, that's not rich.
No, it's not.
You know what I'm saying? But I opened my mind
to seeing that.
I opened my mind and I wrote down what I wanted, you know. And so I'm taking that 5-year-old approach. You know, the 5-year-old don't care. He says $800 for the airplane ticket. Okay, let's go get it.
Mm-hmm.
The 5-year-old's not putting in all these situations where it wouldn't work. And, well, what if the plane crashed? And what if I can't speak the language? And what if they don't like me when I get? The 5-year-old don't think about that. So why do you think about it? Mm-hmm. Buy the ticket, get the maid, get the driver, get the apartment, sign a lease, and make it happen every month.
Yeah.
It's a simple task, right? So that's just an example, guys. Everybody's different. So let's say it's a Lamborghini that you want, right? I think a Lamborghini, obviously you gotta have a down payment on it, so let's just skip the down payment part. But, like, month to month, you can get a Lamborghini for less than $2,000 a month. Maybe a used Lamborghini. Mm-hmm. Let's say it's a Porsche or a Tesla or a Mercedes M-Class or something like that. It ain't that much money. With a little effort and some thought behind it, you can have those things. And I'm just, again, guys, we just use those things as examples. But
I like that you said that, because when you put it in that perspective and you break it down to a point where it's so simple for people, for the average person, it makes it believable for them. Because you say, when most people, when they hear it, it's only $2,000 a month to do that, they'll say, $2,000? What? Who has that kind of money? But when you break it down and say, hey, like, $2,000 ain't nothing, man. Figure out a way you can make this money. You know what I'm saying?
Look, product or service, okay?
There you go.
Product or service. What product can you acquire and sell for $2,000? What service you can provide to what service can you provide to what type of person or business for $2,000 a month? Now we got some options, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Now we're looking for the solution, all right? And so when we look at that, then it's like, okay, well, what product could I sell? What service could I sell? What part of my time could I sell? What could I put into me to get the skills necessary to sell like this or whatever it may be? Bam, I got $2,000 coming in every month. Now I can go get that thing I want. Mm-hmm. You know, just break it down, make it real simple.
Make it simple.
Yep. And the beauty in that is that you're living, I'm gonna call it a luxury lifestyle, where you're living this beautiful lifestyle and doing something as practical as being an insurance adjuster.
Yeah, right.
It's nothing crazy. That's another right. Yeah, nothing right. Outlandish. Being right. An insurance adjuster, something you don't even need a college degree to do. The average person can just go do it. But
I'm gonna tell you. I learned early on in my early 20s, I learned that you don't have to have sexy job titles to make good money.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
You know, I bought my first Benz being a bail bondsman. You know, I bought S-Class being a bail bondsman. Just getting people out of jail, that ain't sexy. You know, but I did well with that. And so it's like, I have found that the wealth is in, I wouldn't say the garbage, but it's like the wealth is it's just not pretty. You know, mm-hmm. like it's not... Like, I'm not going to take a picture of me at a computer typing up claims and stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's not sexy.
It is not.
And when I tell people I'm in insurance, their eyes just glaze over. You know, and it's been that way for all the jobs I've ever had. They've always just been like, oh, you do a what? All right. And I'll be like, okay, cool. Right, cool. That's competition for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it ain't got to be insurance for you. It might be something else. But guys, there is a lot of money in the ugly things. Like the things other people don't want to do or things that people just – don't place a high regard on because that's not what they're told. You know, that's where the money is, right? Mm. Well, the money is in accounting, engineering, and you'd be a lawyer or a doctor. Those four things, if you're not doing that, you ain't gonna make no money. That's only four industries. We got a whole lot of other industries there.
A lot.
Where you can make a lot of money at. Mm-hmm. And so I found that, okay, if I take my skill levels my gifts, everybody has a gift. Everybody has things they're predisposed to being good at. Go take it and leave one of these sexy industries and get in another sexy industry, and you're going to win.
You're going to win.
Because
ain't nobody else, everybody else over there, they just kind of happen upon it too.
Yep.
Mm. So if you're a top-notch salesman, why am I going to sell cars when I can go sell, I don't know, something not sexy, okay? Like life insurance, that ain't sexy at all. But you a top-notch car salesman making whatever a month as a car salesman, why don't you go over here and sell life insurance?
Everybody need life insurance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They can buy multiple insurance policies.
Yep.
I'm getting back on insurance. I didn't mean to, but it's not sexy. No, that's all I'm saying. It's just like you don't have to be front-facing all the time to do well. That's all I'm trying to say. But anyway.
Those are key points. And I like that. I like the fact that you brought up industries because this is something that's crazy. I was just thinking about this like yesterday. Like one of the most important things, in my opinion, when it comes to building financial stability or independence is industry. And I think like a lot of times people are in a specific industry at a bad time and where it may be too early or it may be too late or it may be too saturated. So like... I think people got to do their homework, and when you on this journey and identifying the industry, like you said, it's not always going to be pretty, and a lot of times it's not going to be something that you actually have a passion for, but it's something that you got to use it as a vehicle, like I said earlier, to get to where you want to go. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Identifying the industry. That's why, like I tweeted the other day, I said, I put my other ventures on a back burner, and I'm 100% all in on podcasting. And I know a lot of people may not understand that right now. And I took some L's in the beginning doing this because it was a backdrop from the other stuff that we was doing. Right. But I know with this as an industry, whereas we got a blueprint, we got our foot through the door, and it's an industry that people still don't know how many.
It ain't sexy.
People don't know what's about to come out of this. But sexy, I see it because I'm in it.
You know, I'm glad you said something about this whole passion thing, right? You know what I'm passionate about?
What's that?
I'm passionate about waking up and jumping in the ocean and swimming for an hour.
See?
I'm passionate about dancing. I'm passionate about speaking Portuguese. That's what makes a smile on my face. I don't have to be passionate about my job. It's work. It ain't play. That's why I call it work. Mm-hmm. So how many of y'all disqualify? I'm not going to say y'all. How many of us or disqualifying ourselves from our real potential because we feel like we got to be passionate about work. I ain't never been passionate about work.
Never.
Okay, I might be good at it.
Right.
But I'm not jumping up and down like, bro, I can't wait till 9 a.m. hit, bro. I can't clock in. I'm going to get to them, boy. Like, no. I get excited when I see a wave come in, and I'm like, yo, I'm finna swim. I'm finna see these little fishes and the ocean, the snakes on the ocean, and, you know, I'm going to see these sardines and tuna and all that stuff swimming. That's what I'm passionate about. And so going back to how we feel, how we get happy, is like, go be passionate about life, and let's take work serious. Mm-hmm. Let's let work be work, and we can make fun be fun. But we ain't got to do this whole, like, well, my job doesn't give me fulfillment. No, your life don't give you fulfillment. And that's why you're mad and unhappy in your situation. And you think it's because of your job, and it's not because of your job. It's because you don't do anything.
That's a hell of a perspective.
After you get off work.
Mm-hmm. And you think it's the job.
Yeah, you know, I don't know my job. Your job feeds you. Come on.
Right.
Like, what are you talking about here? You know, but anyway. Mm,
No. You go ahead, bro. That's a hell of a perspective.
Yeah.
For people to realize that. Because when you just said that, I never even looked at it from that perspective. I'm like, well, that makes sense. Because I don't even remember being in a military, and like most of the people that we was in with, they would be miserable. But me personally, like most of my enlistment, I was never miserable. Like, I, like, that's what I always say, I don't regret my enlistment. Like, I enjoyed it. It's because, but it wasn't because of the work I was doing. It's because outside of it, I was still living my own, like, having a life.
That's what I'm saying.
I had a life outside of it. So, like, going to work, it was like, even though I didn't want to be there, it wasn't like I was miserable. It was like, I'm going, when I get out of this, this is my job. I do this. When I get out of this, I'm going to chill, travel. We're going to have fun, be with my girl. We're going to have a good time. Yeah. So that's, man, and I never looked at it that way, though, until you said it.
Once I realized that, because then once you realize that, you can just do your job without your emotions around
it. Exactly.
My manager didn't tell me how today. My manager said I did a good job after I stayed 2 hours late. Like, so, you know, like, he's doing his management thing or she's doing her management thing, and you are an employee. This ain't a family, okay? This is not a family. They all here to collect a check, okay?
That's a fact.
But just take that need for fulfillment through your job away, and let's put that into our life and our lifestyle. And that also fuels our desire to create a lifestyle, or a better lifestyle, you know, that works for us, you know?
I love that. And I want to pivot, like, on topics, because you said something else on Twitter that I want to get into.
I'm saying a lot of stuff on Twitter.
You do. But before I get into that, we do got to highlight our second sponsor for this week's episode, which is going to be Xavier's Guide to Crypto. Okay.
So this week, this episode, like she said, is sponsored by My Official Crypto Guide. That's right, guys. You guys can go to www.guidetocrypto.com. And this is a beginner's guide for people that want to get into crypto. And like I always say, this isn't a short-term play. So if you're trying to make 100%, 200%, 50% in a week or a month or something like that, this isn't the play for you. This is people that want to get a crypto, buy, and they willing to wait long term. Like, in this guide, I give about 13 coins that I'm pretty sure that'll do well long term if you steadily invest in them. I talk about paying taxes, I talk about platforms, I talk about what makes a coin valuable, invaluable, stuff like that. And if you want to get it, it's on sale right now, 20% off for the next 50 people. It's 20% off, and you can go to guide2crypto.com. The link is also in the description of this podcast.
Sir, thank you, Xavier. So the question I have for you is, you said two-parent households have a record of success unseen in any other family dynamic.
Yes. Yes. Come on, man. Yes.
I got you.
Come on.
Speak on it. Go ahead. Let us know.
Yeah. So what do you want to know about that?
I mean, explain to us, like, what's the meaning behind that? Like, because, you know, a lot of people... I'm going to just go ahead and say it. Being a single parent isn't looked at as a bad thing at all. It's looked at as, it's very doable, which I commend the single parents that do it. But it seems like a lot of people promote being a single parent and kind of diss two family households.
Diss marriage.
Yeah, this marriage and all that in the process. So can you speak on that?
Yeah, I will. So here's the thing. When I was bail bonding, I was going to jail. I went to jail 3 times a day. For like an hour and a half, getting people out of jail. And by people, I mean black men. Mm-hmm. Those are most of the people I got out of jail. 90% of those guys didn't have a father. You know, 90%. And this is over 2 years I did this. And I'm like, so I look just like y'all. Like, we the same age. How did I get here and you got there? And oftentimes it's just they didn't have a father at home. And if we go look at, let's go look at jail rates, okay? The people that end up in jail and go back and forth to jail are usually coming from single parent homes.
Yep.
Then we start looking at, y'all run the stats, okay? Before y'all start arguing with us and get mad, hop in the comments. Just go look at stats.
Go look at the stats.
I'm not going to demonize single parents because, hey, look, somebody got to raise these kids. So if you stayed around, hats off to you. The people who have not had children yet, what we got to understand is that is dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand you're raising a kid, you're raising a child on your own, you're raising children on your own. That is dysfunctional. That's not how it's designed. If two people can make a baby, two people got to raise a baby,
mm-hmm.
raise a family, you know. And not only that, let's go look at stats for poverty in the black community. I think we got 40% of us make less than $25,000 a year, something like that.
Something like that.
That's a high percentage.
Check your stats, guys. Y'all can leave the comments below what the real stat is. I'm just going off the top of my head. So if we're looking at that, and we know that most of that is women with children and no man at home, we know that if we add a man to this, they can get over $25,000. They'll get over the poverty level, and they can have a shot at having more resources throughout their life in a more stable environment, you know, because you got mama making $12 an hour raising three kids, and daddy over there across town making $10 an hour. That's a $22 an hour household that ain't together.
That ain't,
mm-hmm. you know? And so the next thing is like, all right, look, guys, you got kids involved. So it ain't all about you and how you being happy. Like, y'all gonna have to figure that out. You know, if we're gonna get past where we are, especially for us as black people, if we're gonna get past where we are right now, we're gonna do something a little different. I don't know how we're gonna do that, but mm-hmm. we're gonna have to make some concessions,
man.
Okay? Because this ain't working.
I tweeted about this a while ago. That's why I'm looking at my phone, because I'm trying to find the tweet. I had the statistics, and because I did a lot of research on this.
Yeah.
But I can't find it. But I remember it being something like a child without a father. I could be wrong on this, but I remember it was something like, it's like 20 times more likely to go to jail.
More molested.
All the bad stats. All the bad. Like, four times more likely to drop out of high school.
Suicide rates are higher.
Yep. Like,
it's
extreme. And I think a lot of people don't think of just from, because they always, you got people that say, you know, I can take care of it myself. Like, I'm doing financial well myself. I think they don't think of you one person. What if something happens to you? Like, you
and
know what I'm saying?
Something happens.
What if mm-hmm. you become sick, injured?
But here's the other thing. Okay, you can take care of the baby yourself, but you ain't asking the baby how they feel about it. Who asking the kids?
Exactly.
The kid just want one parent? Yeah, I'm good without a dad. I'm cool. Yeah, you got it.
But they groom the kid into thinking they accept it over time that they would prefer to have one parent.
Yeah, but like, I got both my parents. I'm not going to be like, I'm cool without my dad or mm-hmm. my mom. Like, yeah, we good, dad. Just leave mom back at the house, you know, like, forever. No, I'm not. And I think that's what I'm saying. Like, we're not considering the child. There's another person in these conversations. It's adults, but you have a third person. And that's the child or the children that are created. Y'all ain't consulting with them.
Right.
You know, you don't know how they feel when you come home tired. Okay, you made it happen. You put food on the table, but you can't play with them. You tired mm-hmm. from work, so you can't be nice to them.
Exactly.
You know, and it's just you.
You're angry.
You know, you're angry at just everything or anything. You know, maybe not angry, you're just tired. You know, but you're missing, this child is missing something. You know, and that comes from another set of hands, another set of eyes, another person to give this child attention. And so it's like, if we ain't made no kids yet, guys, I'm part of the haven't had kids yet crowd. Look, we got to just be cognizant of what we're doing before we do it. Because it's a big responsibility, you know.
It's a huge responsibility.
Because it ain't about you. Okay, I made it. All right. But your child might not make it. Okay. You know? And that's just...
That's the reality of it.
It's serious. It's really serious. And, you know, if we want to do better for us in our community, we got to do better for our children and for our unborn before they get here. So think before you start doing these things.
And it's, man, it's all like... I really, to be honest, I really didn't see the value. I don't want to say I didn't see the value. I'm saying that wrong. I didn't see how important and how like pivotal, because I was raised by both parents too, how pivotal my father's role in my life until I was an adult to see, like, man, because I know I have most of my friends, that wasn't the case. And same, I seen like the routes they went. And I seen first, I just know like, it's three of us. I got two brothers. And if it was just us three and my mom, it wouldn't have been in a positive direction that we would have went. Cause each time we did some BS or got in trouble, it was my dad that was on us, sitting us down, having talks with us, where it was like, you know, man to man, it's always that like, you see that fear with your father that you don't get from a woman necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you don't really feel the consequence. Like, what you gonna do to me? You can't harm me. Yeah, like,
once you're like
13, 14, it's over. But with a man, it's like, all right, let me sit straight up. You know what I'm saying? I don't wanna, you know. So that is everything you're saying is real.
Yeah, it's real. I agree. I talk about it, but I don't like. Mm-hmm. I don't want to demonize single parents. Look. That's what y'all got going on. Y'all doing the best y'all can what you got. I understand.
Right.
Okay. You keep doing that. But it's mainly for people who have not had children yet. God, please think.
Mm-hmm. Please use your head. Like, you know what I'm saying? Even if you're not going to be together, you know, you got co-parenting and all that good stuff. Like, the balance is everything. A child needs that balance. So, deep, man. I know this may not mindsets, but we can't talk about finances or money without talking about like real the things real too. Stuff. Because at the end of the day, you can have all the money in the world, but certain stuff money just can't cover. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just like it can't cover for the fact that a parent might not be at home, or you might not be feeling good mentally, and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So these conversations got to be had too.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we got to have these hard talks. And again, I just want to say it was no knock to single parents at all. Like, commend y'all 100%. Situations happen. But like you said, we just got to be more conscious of the decisions we make. And we got to put the emphasis on the kids and the people we're raising in today's society.
Mm, yeah, man. And what we at on time, Joe?
6:46.
Okay.
We at an hour.
We at an hour? Okay. Yeah, we gonna get ready to wrap up. But before we wrap up, I want to talk about lastly is your course. So for the people that, like I said, that may be thinking about becoming a justice, I know your stuff covering a lot of stuff. It does. So for people that's can purchase it, what does it cover? Like, what it will teach them?
All right. So I got three courses now.
Oh, you got three? Okay.
Yeah. So the main course, this course is introduces people to the industry and gets them hired and teach them what to do to get hired and stay hired, is the roadmap to become an independent insurance adjuster. That course is going to, for one, is going to explain the industry to you, what they're looking for when they're trying to hire you, what they're not looking for, how to conduct yourself in these office environments. It gives you a list of all the IA firms, independent adjuster firms or insurance adjusting firms in the United States. Insurance adjusting firms are basically staffing agencies that just hire independent adjusters. And then it teaches you how to go about going through those lists, contacting all those people, and hey, look, I got a license. I got these certifications. This is what I have here, and I want to work for your company. Teach people how to do that, and it also comes with a group. So we got, at the time of this taping, I think it was September 10th, we got 540 members in our Slack group, and so those are all adjusters or people that are taking that course, and they're all sharing different things they see in the industry, whether that's a new deployment. Or, hey, this is how you get through your Texas State exam. This is how you get through Louisiana State exam. So they're sharing a lot of information there. And it's been phenomenal for a lot of people. We got right at 1,000 students. And
that's amazing.
We got over 130 hired already. And like I said earlier, my goal is 500 students to get hired. And I think today we got three people hired today. So
we're getting
one or two people hired every day.
Salute. You're doing the work, bro. That's impact.
Into a good industry, you know, that's going to make them good money, you know. So it's I'll be talking about my course a lot. I got three courses. I just made a new course. I'm thinking about my last course. And I made my first course 9 months ago. So, like, I talk about all my courses. But the main thing is with the roadmap, if you just took that, that's going to give you what you need to get into the industry and get hired and stay working as much as you want to. And then the next two courses are more technical based. And it goes into how you actually handle claims. And then the last course is how you interpret policy.
Okay.
Yeah, as a claim
here.
Hey, man, I want to give you a grand salute because that's directly impacting people's lives. And you, like I said, you're doing the work to have 130 people get actually hired and be able to feed themselves. And I'm pretty sure a lot of them have families to feed their families. Hey, man, that's a big, big salute. That's major, bro.
I appreciate it, man.
That's amazing. Yeah, you know. No, seriously, bro. I love to hear stuff like that because that's real work. That's real work, man.
Yeah.
And before we let you go, man, I just want to say once again, bro, you know how much I appreciate you coming out to Dallas, man, to do this. We've been talking. We said we had to get this done. We got it done.
Hey, man, I'm glad I can be here.
And this one of those. That's all I can say. This one of those ones, man. This episode, this is it right here, man. So, but before we let you go, do you mind letting people know where they can find you, follow you? Everything, just plug everything right now.
All right, so I'm gonna give y'all one. Twitter.com. Okay, you can get everything else from there. Stephen Story, Stephen Story. You follow me on Twitter, and then from there, all my other information is there. My YouTube, Instagram, the courses, everything. But that's where I'm most active at.
Okay.
So let's just go there.
Yep.
Go to Twitter.
Follow him. Like I said, he's one of my favorite followers. So y'all make sure y'all definitely tap in with him and make sure y'all hit that follow button. And wrapping up for me, y'all can find me on all platforms at Xavier C. Miller. You can also follow the Millionaire Mindsets podcast on all platforms as well. And once again, on September 17th, that's a week from today, we're doing a live show with Aisha Selden. All the in-person tickets, they've been sold out now, but we have virtual tickets as well. So for people that want to tune in, they want to ask her questions, be a part of the audience and see what's going on, ask us questions, you could definitely get that virtual ticket. That's for $25. So definitely tune into that as well. Like I said, September 17th, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's happening. And D, what's your info?
And you can find me on Instagram at Deanna Kent, Twitter Deanna S. Kent, and you can find me on YouTube at Lessons in Life and Luxury. And thank you again so much for coming on the show.
Yeah,
next time we do part three, hopefully me and Zay living in Brazil.
We can shoot it from
trying
Brazil.
Trying to shoot my shot so we can get
just have to get to Brazil.
Let's go.
I feel it. And that's all we have for you guys. Appreciate y'all tuning in to another episode of the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. See you guys next episode.
Peace.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.